Chapter 10.
"You don't have to bow, Mr. Bartram," I chuckled as I looked down at the man on the ground. "This is a pretty common occurrence when you hang around us."
As much as I appreciated being bowed to like a god, it was also a bit uncomfortable to see a 50-something-year-old man kneeling there in front of me while blubbering like a baby.
Becabel,
Boyd trailed off as he looked over at his daughter.
Did you know about this? Have you been graced by the will of the Panther Mother before?
No.
Becca gulped as she looked at my werepanther body.
I just found out about Carter's miracle today. I've never seen him transform before. Wow.
Wow is the right word, my darling,
Becca's dad said as he slowly stood up from his bow.
I never thought I'd see a miracle like this one in my entire life.
It's not that big of a deal. Also, enjoy it while you can, because if we don't get more help soon, Khonsu and Kak are going to turn me into a rug.
I must call my brothers,
Mr. Bartram declared, and his expression grew serious.
Surely they will agree to help you, Carter, but we are a democratic society, and one member cannot pledge the loyalty of the entire group without putting it to a vote first.
It's okay. I'm sure once they hear me out and see me in this form, they'll freak out like you did.
I hope so,
Becca's dad smiled.
Oh, this is a glorious day that Nefertem has given us.
How long do you think this is going to take?
Naomi sighed as she rubbed her wrists where the vines had grabbed her.
Because I've got a hot date with a man named Jack Daniels tonight.
I thought you were a part of Carter's harem.
Mr. Bartram raised an eyebrow.
He allows you to date other men.
Daddy,
Becca said with a snort.
She's being sarcastic. Think about the name.
Jack most of our members are local, so they should still be able to get here within the hour. I know we won't need much time for deliberations, especially once they witness the glory of your presence.
Let's hope not,
Naomi said with a wink.
It's a date I don't like to miss.
It's a date you have every night.
I'm honestly surprised your liver hasn't exploded from all the work it has to do.
Leah interjected with a hint of snark.
Don't you drink, like, a bottle a day?
Naomi's lips pursed into a smug expression as she summoned silver magic into her hands and held them up for us to see.
Magic. It's a real miracle worker. I just used the lunar reconstitution spell I learned forever ago, and voila. Everything inside my body is as good as new. Carter knows all about that.
My heart picked up in my chest as I remembered the time Naomi enticed me to use her back door while in the heat of the moment, and my loins throbbed at the memory of her thick ass bouncing up and down on my cock. Still, I tried to keep it together, since I didn't know exactly what it would look like to get an erection in my panther form.
It repairs yourself?
Leah asked, and I saw the excitement of the biology student behind her blue eyes.
You can heal people?
Why haven't you told us this before? That could have come in handy when Carter was fighting Newt.
I can't heal people, per se,
Naomi explained.
The spell makes it very clear it can't seal up wounds or anything of that sort. What it can do is prevent things from getting complicated inside your body.
So, it's more of a protective spell?
I guess you could say that.
The witch shrugged.
I always prep myself before I put anything inside my body. Don't I, Carter?
My heart felt like it was about to explode out of my chest at this point, and it was taking every bit of my willpower to keep myself from popping one right there and then.
Oh, yeah.
I said as I tried to play it coy. If you didn't, then I would think Val's right, and your liver would be completely shot by now.
You should call your bowling league, Daddy. I don't want to keep my friends waiting for too long.
Of course, Becca Bell.
Mr. Bartram smiled at his daughter and then turned to me.
I'm just still in disbelief at our luck. Not only did my beautiful daughter befriend a werepanther, but now he's giving us the opportunity to work with him. Oh, this may be the happiest... Third happiest day of my life.
What were the first two, if I may ask?
Oh, the day Becca was born is number one, of course,
Mr. Bartram said as he stared off longingly at his little girl. But then his eyes narrowed and his expression became more coy.
The second was when her mother left us.
That was one of the happiest days.
At the time, certainly not. If it hadn't been for Becca, then... Well... Let's just say I may not have continued living.
It's okay, Daddy.
Becca's eyes welled with tears as she placed her hand on her father's shoulder.
It is, Becca Bell,
he said as he looked into her eyes.
I've gotten to give you a better life than I ever could have if we'd been under the same roof as that witch of a woman.
I take offense to that term.
Naomi huffed and Mr. Bartram let out a gasp.
Oh, I didn't mean to offend. It's just... Becca's mother was not a nice person at all. Also, if she hadn't left us when Becca was young, I don't think I would have met up with the Brotherhood, which would have drastically changed my life.
It certainly made our yard work easier. Think of how much money we've saved on landscaping and horticulture with your magic.
Oh, your magical abilities aren't bad either, my darling. Perhaps now that you know an actual witch, you can strengthen your magical abilities beyond anything my brothers or I could teach you. Not that we've taught you much in the first place.
You've taught me plenty, Daddy.
But there is so much more I was forbidden from teaching you.
Forbidden? I interjected. Why couldn't you teach Becca all the same magic you and your brothers know?
Well, because we are a brotherhood, Carter, he said with a deep frown. The other members of my group always felt that if a woman wanted to learn our ways, there were other groups she could join. Of course, none of them are exactly like the Brotherhood of the Blue Lotus, which is what my Becca Bell here wanted to learn about.
All of Daddy's friends liked me, though, so they let him bend the rules a little bit so I would be able to sit in on some of their meetings and discussions and even learn a bit of beginner's magic from Nefertem.
Don't worry, Becca,
Naomi said as she puffed out her chest proudly.
I'll take you under my wing and teach you everything you could possibly want to know. You'll be Robin and I'll be Batman.
I thought you only knew lunar magic,
Janine asked as she gave Naomi the side eye.
Becca and her father are talking about nature magic.
Same thing,
the witch shrugged.
If she already knows the basics, then I can give her some tips on how to make herself even stronger.
I think she might be better suited with my methods. If you don't know much about nature magic, then Becca could learn a lot more by studying the ancient texts that scholars have assembled through the centuries and...
Boring!
Naomi groaned.
Everybody knows the best way to learn magic is to find a back alley somewhere and then destroy a bunch of dumpsters.
I think I could do both. I would love to jump deeper into the source of my magic, even though I'll admit I'm not a strong reader. But I also want to blow things up and test out my strength, too. That sounds like a lot of fun.
You should work together, then. Yeah! In fact, why don't all three of you work together at the same time? Janine knows magic, so she can go and learn from Naomi, and Naomi can study her lunar magic with Janine.
What?
Naomi and Janine both asked with horrified expressions. Actually, that's a great idea. I smirked. I want every member of my team to become as strong as they possibly can be, so I think it'd be beneficial to both of you to get out of your comfort zones for a bit.
Yay!
Becca declared as she bounced up and down on the balls of her feet.
This is going to be so much fun.
Naomi and Janine looked at each other, shook their heads, and laughed.
I promise I'll try not to fall asleep, but all I can do is promise.
And I promise I'll try to loosen up a little and just blow shit up. Though with luck magic, I'm not exactly sure how that's even going to work.
That's the beauty of experimentation, Janine,
Leah said as she clapped her hands together.
Anything could happen.
I can't even begin to say how happy I am Becca is with you, Carter,
Mr. Bartram said with a sentimental smile.
Nefertem and the Panther Mother have truly blessed her by bringing her to you and your friends.
Maybe you're right, and it was an act of Bast. It's a pretty damn cool coincidence that I just so happened to meet all three of these lovely ladies my first time in Ada's nightclub, and they've become wonderful friends and awesome members of my team ever since.
It was not a coincidence, Carter, Mr. Bartram smiled. The Panther Mother is watching over you. Now, I shall call up my brothers and inform them of this news. They will all want to get over here and meet you immediately.
I can give them a tour of the place, Daddy.
That would be lovely, Boyd nodded. I will set up the basement space for our gathering.
What exactly do you need to set up? I asked as my eyes narrowed and my brain started to race with all the possibilities of a trap.
Oh, not really anything. It's just the basement hasn't been cleaned in, some time. Normally we hold our brotherhood meetings at Joe's house, but in this unique situation, I believe they will all want to come over here. It won't take me long to tidy the place up, but I don't want our esteemed guests to feel like they are standing in the middle of a trash hoard.
Daddy, are you sure it's not more about the fact you're afraid of what the other brothers will say?
Not at all,
Mr. Bartram argued, but I could sense by his heartbeat and the nervous tone in his voice that he was lying.
We are being blessed by a child of Bast herself. I simply want our house to feel as homey as possible for him.
That's not necessary, I began, but he quickly interrupted me with a wave of his hand.
Oh, I insist, Carter. Now, go explore the rest of our lovely abode, and I will prepare for the arrival of the rest of my brothers.
I was a tad uneasy about this whole thing, but my invisible eye wasn't giving me any alerts that danger was afoot. Also, I trusted Becca,
and I knew she wouldn't have brought us to her father if she thought he would have nefarious intentions. Lead the way then, Becca, I chuckled as I took a little bow.
I think we're gonna stay behind,
Leah announced as she pointed between Val and herself.
We've been here so many times, Becca, I think I could tell you the exact number of earrings you have on the jewelry stand in your room by now.
Can we be of any assistance, Mr. Bartram?
Valerie asked Becca's dad.
Oh, I couldn't possibly ask you two to help clean up my mess, the man frowned.
Please, Boyd. We're practically family. There's nothing we could see down there that would possibly make us think any less of you.
Well, if you insist.
Boyd trailed off as he thought it over.
A couple extra set of hands would be very helpful.
Lead the way, Mr. Bartram,
Val said with a smile. One last thing before you go, Boyd. Do you happen to have any clothes I might be able to borrow? I don't really want to walk around your house as an 8-foot-tall panther, and if I change back, I'm going to be in nothing but my underwear.
Oh, we can't have that. If the other members of the Brotherhood come to my home and see a muscular man in his underwear waiting for them, well, they might assume it's a different type of meeting.
Ew, Daddy!
Becca said with a shudder.
I have some old clothes in the attic. They don't really fit me anymore, but surely they'll be able to tide you over until your next transformation.
Huh, what makes you think I'm going to transform again? I raised an eyebrow at the man.
Oh, I'm sure the Brotherhood will want to see you in your werepanther form as proof that you are really a child of the panther mother. But for the sake of my door frames, you probably should turn back into a human for the time being.
I guess we'll make sure we stop by the attic on this grand tour.
Excellent. Valerie and Leah, if your offer still stands, please come with me.
Boyd Bartram turned around, gestured for Leah and Valerie to follow, and then headed off out of the kitchen and down a nearby hallway. Leah and Val just rolled their eyes and laughed at the man's enthusiasm before they started after him, and they disappeared around the corner, too.
The basement's probably not as bad as he claims. Daddy is always a worrywart when it comes to how other people view him.
I know we just met, but he seems like a pretty cool guy to me.
That's because he is.
The platinum blonde woman winked.
Now, let's start the grand tour of the Bartram house. I don't know what he intends me to do for the whole time, since I know it's not going to take longer than, like, half an hour to show you around.
We will ask a lot of questions. We're going to make you work today, Miss Tour Guide.
Well, you've already seen the kitchen.
Becca giggled as she gestured around the room.
So I suppose we should start down on the first floor, then probably head up to the second, then hopefully Daddy and Leah and Val will be done downstairs.
Hold on. Let me just... As I spoke, I summoned black magic around my body, and I felt my muscles begin to shrink down to their original size. The fur on my body transformed into thin strands of black hair, and my snout and canines shortened up as they returned to normal. When all was said and done, I was standing there in nothing but my spandex shorts, which elicited a gasp out of Becca.
We should definitely get to the attic soon.
She stuttered, and I could sense the tension on her face as she tried to keep herself from looking down at my bulge. Then the platinum blonde woman cleared her throat, turned away, and headed for the next room.
Did you see that, Carter?
Naomi cooed through a whisper.
She was trying so hard not to stare.
I don't blame her,
Janine said with a smirk.
Even after all this time, I struggle not to get distracted by Carter's body.
There'll be plenty of time for that later, ladies. Right now, we're on a tour. What kind of guests would we be if we snuck off and left our host all alone?
I just hope we have plenty more time after it's all over with.
Naomi leaned in and mumbled into my ear.
I don't know how much longer I can keep my hands off of you.
I tried to keep myself from getting an erection as my mind drifted off and thought about what the beautiful witch might want to do to me. However, when someone was wearing nothing but spandex shorts, it was impossible to hide their arousal whatsoever, and I really didn't want to be walking around Mr. Bartram's home with a stiffy. Becca moved us out of the kitchen and into a nice, cozy room with a window that was 3 panes wide, and took up the entirety of the north wall. It looked out past a couple of bushes and into the driveway, and the entire floor was made up of beautiful dark hardwood. A flat-screen TV hung on the wall just above a gray cobblestone fireplace, which glowed and crackled as the flames inside danced back and forth. Across from the fireplace and TV were 2 brown leather recliners, and a couch that looked like it was made out of white, scratchy fabric, and had 4 brown, circular legs.
The living room, I presume?
That used to be my chair.
Becca sighed happily as she pointed to the recliner on the left.
Daddy and I used to sit here and watch all those princess movies I was obsessed with as a little girl. Actually, looking back on it, he probably hated every second of it.
No way. If it made you happy and he got to spend time with you, then I'm sure he was just as happy, if not more so.
It's always especially beautiful here when it snows.
The platinum blonde woman trailed off as she looked out the window and let out a longing sigh.
I could sit here in the winter and watch the soft snow fall down for hours, just sipping my warm latte with my feet propped up on the ottoman. Anyways, you guys probably don't want to hear me talk about my childhood for 3 hours or anything. Let's move on.
Honestly, with the way Becca spoke about her memories in this house, I probably could have listened to her talk for hours. She seemed so happy when she was reminiscing about her childhood, which made me think her father was definitely a good, trustworthy man. Plus, she was adorable when she got excited about something, since her voice became a bit more breathy, and she started to talk faster than normal. It reminded me of talking to Chip the Squirrel back during our adventures in the cemetery, and it was cute as hell. There wasn't much else to the first floor, just a few closets I assumed held coats and shoes and the like, plus a half-bath and a laundry room that were both equipped with pristine high-end appliances. The stairs of the house were located near the back door, down the hallway and across from the staircase that led down to the basement, and we followed Becca up to the second floor of the house, which looked just as nice as the first one. Up here, the floor was a tan carpet, and we were greeted with a loft space that contained several giant open shelves, each of which contained potted plants of every kind. I wasn't a botanist by any means, but I could recognize a few cacti, a couple of ferns, and a whole lot of single-plant flowers that were in bloom. The whole loft area smelled sweetly of the blooming plants, and the small Zen waterfall over in the corner made me feel like I'd just entered a spa. It was relaxing as fuck, and I was sure that this was the sort of place you would go to when you wanted to just sit down and rest.
Leah must love this part of the house, since she's so into biology and all that.
She's more into animals.
Becca shrugged.
But Val and her and I would always sit up here and play games and chat about school. This was like our go-to hangout spot.
I can see why. It's really zen up here.
That's what Daddy and I were going for.
The platinum blonde woman winked.
We grew all these plants ourselves, too, from seedlings to what you see here.
And your magic had nothing to do with it?
Naomi asked with a smug grin.
I never said that.
Becca huffed.
Of course our magic helped. Do you have any idea how hard it is to keep plants alive without magic?
That's why my poor succulent has been brown and wrinkly since freshman year. I definitely don't have a green thumb.
I never really cared for plants. Too much color in life for me, honestly. If I was exposed to that 24/7, I think I'd throw myself out a window.
Don't be so dramatic. A bit of color in your life wouldn't hurt. You can't just have everything in black and maroon, you know?
Why not? It's worked out well for me so far.
You'll love this one, then,
Becca said with a smile as she stepped over to one of the shelves and pulled down one of the pots.
It's an aeonium, more commonly known as a black rose.
The blonde woman held up the pot to Naomi, and I instantly saw the witch's eyes grow wide as the edges of her mouth fought back a smile. Inside the pot was a perfectly geometrical plant with dark maroonish-black leaves that formed a circle with overlapping petals. Each petal had a waxy appearance with a bit of a fuzzy white edge, but for the most part, the plant was the same color as Naomi's aesthetic.
Okay,
the witch frowned.
I do like that one. Where did you get it?
You like it?
Becca asked with a raised eyebrow.
I can give you this one if you want.
I'm not going to take the plant that you said you've been growing for years. I'll find one of my own if I really want it, okay?
Becca simply shook her head before she reached over and plucked an empty black clay pot from the shelf. She held it parallel to the pot that held the black rose, and then she closed her eyes and began to whisper something in a language I wasn't familiar with. As she did so, green magic crawled up her hands and then around both pots, and we all watched in awe as the black rose's stem began to elongate. The plant raised up about a foot out of its pot before it curved to the left and then began to stretch out again in a horizontal plane. It moved over just above the dirt in the second pot, and then it took a 90-degree turn and buried its entire flower underneath the earth. Becca's magic seemed to course through it in short, pulsating bursts for a few seconds, before the stem of the black rose started to shorten, and the flower retreated from the dirt of the second pot. Within seconds, the plant was back to normal, and Becca placed it back on the shelf with a half-smile.
What did you just do?
Janine gasped through her smile of disbelief.
Just watch,
Becca promised, and then she began to mumble in a foreign language once more. This time, the green magic formed a glowing orb around the entirety of the empty pot. And then the real magic started to happen. We all watched as, out of the very top of the soil, a tiny green bud emerged. Then, just as quickly as it had appeared, the little plant started to grow into a full, mature flower. Dark red and black leaves sprung out from its stem and blossomed into a single, beautifully symmetrical growth. And when all was said and done, the flower looked exactly the same as the one Becca had pulled off the shelf. Wow. Whew. That's... That's not too bad for somebody who calls themselves an amateur.
Here you go,
Becca said as she handed the new plant to Naomi.
I even picked out a pot that matches your color scheme.
Thanks, Becca.
The witch's eyes seemed to glisten for half a second, and I realized this was one of the few times since I'd met Naomi that she'd willingly shown a compassionate emotion. And, of course, she quickly shook her head and cleared her throat as her expression returned to her normal, sultry look. But she continued to smile as she studied the black rose in her hands.
Come. There's not much else to see, but I want you to at least see the rest of the rooms up here before we're called away by Daddy.
We followed Becca down a short hallway that had three separate rooms. The first was a large master bath, complete with a glass-doored stand-up shower, dark blue ceramic fixtures, and a floor of nice white tiles. Much like the rest of the house, this room said, I have money, in a very subtle, upper-middle-class sort of way. The next room we approached was closed, and Becca just shook her head. What's in there? I asked.
That's Daddy's room. I know he didn't say it, but I'm pretty sure he'd be embarrassed if I showed you this room as part of the tour. I've been in there, though, and I promise it looks like a pretty normal bedroom. Maybe a few more plants and psychedelic posters than most people have, but there's nothing too crazy in there.
Oh, that's fine. I wouldn't want people hanging around my bedroom without me there either. Becca took us to a third and final room, all the way down at the end of the hall. And as she pushed open the door, we were greeted with something that looked like it was straight out of an issue of 17 magazine. The walls were painted a soft shade of pink, and they were covered with all sorts of posters of famous teeny bopper pop artists and celebrities I was sure she'd had crushes on when she was in high school. Much like the rest of the house, there were several shelves of plants, as well as a wooden chest at the end of the canopy bed, complete with white lace curtains. On the other wall of the room, just beside the window, was a dresser with a wall-mounted jewelry chest just above. The jewelry on the organizer sparkled in the light of the afternoon sun, and I could understand what Leah had meant when she said her sarcastic remark earlier.
What do you think?
Becca asked with a snort.
This is like jumping into a time portal straight back into my teenage years.
Then it looks perfect. It captures your personality pretty well, if I do say so myself.
What's that supposed to mean?
The platinum blonde crossed her arms and tossed out her hip to the left.
Are you trying to tell me I still act like a teenager?
No. I just thought all the bright colors and plants and pop star posters were you, if that makes sense.
I felt that way too. This sort of room wouldn't work with someone like myself or Naomi, but it works very well for you, Becca.
You can say that again.
Naomi stuck out her tongue and cringed.
I would never in a million years live in a room like this. Ugh, way too upbeat for me.
Really?
Becca asked the witch.
I don't think it's upbeat enough. In fact, I always kind of thought it was boring and drab.
Naomi's face scrunched into a horrified expression at the woman's words, and her entire body shuddered at the thought of this somehow not being upbeat enough. So, does that conclude the grand tour, then? You've got a really lovely house, Becca.
Thank you, Carter.
Becca smiled, but then a dark blush crept into her cheeks when her eyes dared to wander downward.
Oh, maybe not. We still have the attic and those clothes for you.
Becca's eyes went to the ground as she rushed us out of the room in a hurry. And she walked out into the hallway before she pointed upward toward a short, dangling rope with a plastic bead at the very end. It was way out of any of our reaches, though I could easily get up there with my enhanced agility. You want me to get that?
No need.
Becca retorted with a smile, and then she summoned green magic to her fingers and snapped. My superhuman hearing picked up the sound of stretching vines from the loft area, and soon one of the plants came rocketing toward us as it elongated. It reached up, wrapped itself around the rope, and then gently pulled it downward. And as the overhead door fell, a collapsible wooden ladder slid down, which Becca promptly grabbed and pulled down to the floor. The second everything was in place, Becca snapped her fingers again, and the vine began to retract from our position.
Damn!
It's like you've got your own private servants or something.
Not servants.
Becca shook her head.
They serve us when we ask, just as we serve them. It is a symbiotic relationship.
With that, Becca grabbed onto the ladder and began to climb up. I was right behind her, and my eyes looked up and locked firmly onto her tight ass as she moved. It was covered by nothing but a thin layer of legging fabric, and I could see it jiggle and bounce with each step she took. Still, I tried to keep myself from getting too excited. We were guests in Mr. Bartram's house, and seducing and sleeping with his daughter underneath his roof was probably one of the worst possible things a guest could do. Besides, Becca and I were just friends at the moment. Valerie had told me in the past that Becca had a bit of a crush on me, but she'd yet to tell me herself. I wanted to wait and see if Becca would ever express her true feelings, rather than try and press the topic before she felt ready. We all got up into the attic, which was only about halfway finished. It had a solid wooden floor and a few lights that dangled down from the ceiling, but the walls and ceiling itself were still nothing more than bare rafters and support beams. There were a bunch of boxes all around the edges of the room, and Becca sauntered over to one of the piles and pulled out a single clear tote bag marked Old Clothes.
This should be it,
Becca said as she popped it open and began to rummage through.
Daddy's clothes won't be a perfect fit, but I think I can get you something that would look good. Let's see. Oh, aha! These will look great with your green eyes.
The platinum blonde woman pulled out a dark green Henley shirt that was long-sleeved and had a few bits of white bead pattern around the neckline. She also grabbed a pair of simple khaki pants, which she tossed over to me with a smile. Lastly, Becca picked out a pair of men's gladiator-style sandals that were slightly smaller than what my shoe size actually was, but I figured I would make it work. Thanks, Becca, I said as she handed me the clothes. Hippie isn't really the style I'm known for, but I think you're right, and it'll look good on me.
It'll look damn good on him. Anything to make his eyes pop.
That's what I figured,
Becca said with a wink.
Now, I'm going to go check on the others and see if they need any help. You can try those clothes on and see if you like them, but if you don't, there's a whole other box you can go through. Just make sure you shut the attic door whenever you head out.
With that, Becca walked back over to the opening in the floor, hung her lower half over the edge, and then climbed down out of sight. The second she was gone, I felt Naomi's hand press up against my bare back.
You might want to wait to put those clothes on, Carter. You won't need them for a little while.
No, you won't,
Janine added with a sensual tone.
In fact, I think things need to be the opposite, don't they, Naomi?
Yep.
The witch nodded.
You're wearing too many clothes, Carter. Take the shorts off.
My heart jumped into my throat as my body trembled with excitement. Apparently, two of my lovers couldn't take it any longer, and they wanted me right here, right now.